If you would please join me in our sermon text for today. It's found in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building his house who dug deep and laid foundations on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Heavenly Father, this is your word. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word now. May the words of my mouth be your very words, and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2005, construction began on the Millennium Tower in San Francisco. It was the first high-rise to be built there in over 20 years. It became the fourth largest building in San Francisco. It's 58 stories, and it sits 640 feet high. It's the largest residential building west of the Mississippi. It won several engineering and architectural awards. And in 2009, the Millennium Tower was completed at a total cost of $350 million, and it opened its doors to its first residents. It became the home of celebrities, sports stars, millionaire and billionaire tech moguls from the Silicon Valley, and it was built for the wealthy elite. The Millennium Tower is one of the most beautiful buildings constructed in recent years. There's just one problem. It's sinking. In 2015, developers of the Millennium Tower disclosed that the building was sinking and it's tilting. And this was made known to the public in 2016. And since it opened in 2009, the building has sunk 18 inches and is tilting 14 inches to the west. The building is sinking because the developers did not sink the structural concrete pylons into the 200 feet of bedrock. Instead, they buried it into 60 to 80 feet of sand. And this sinking has caused concerns for its structural integrity. There are cracks that are widening in the parking garage below the building. There's a crack in a window that was made to withstand hurricane force winds, and residents have heard popping and cracking sounds. And to date, over 30 law firms are involved in litigation, and there's no foreseeable fix. What has been proposed could cost upwards of $100 to $500 million to the developers and residents, as well as millions of dollars in taxes for the people of San Francisco. All of this could have been prevented if the Millennium Tower was built on a firm foundation. And this is a good illustration of what can happen when we attempt to build our lives on a foundation other than Christ. See, in our culture today, there are so many people that are striving to make sense of this world, to make sense of their lives when they're told that there is no absolute truth, that everything is relative, and that we should just follow our own heart's desire and what we think is right. However, when we construct our lives on a foundation of our own making, foundations built on achievement, logic, intellect, careers, our appearance, money, and many, many other things, they may look beautiful on the outside. They may look fulfilling. But it'll be only a matter of time before it all comes crashing down. Proverbs 14:12 says that there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. And today, as we conclude our series on the parables of Jesus, we will see what it means to build our lives on the firm foundation of Christ. And what we'll see today is that what is necessary for us to build our lives on the rock, it begins with humility. We need to accept that God's ways are not our ways. We need to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to continually assess where we are placing our trust. So the first thing that we see today is that in building our life on the rock of Christ, is that there is a God and you are not him. We need to accept that God's ways are not our ways. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. It shall succeed for that thing for which I sent it." So what we can see from this scripture and from many other texts throughout the Bible is that God's kingdom is opposite of the kingdom of this world. God's ways are opposite than the ways of man. And this is what we see in our text today, in Luke, in this parable of building our house upon the rock. You see, because this parable comes as a conclusion to a much larger text found in verses 20 through 45 of chapter 6, in which we see Christ contrasting the ways of God and the ways of man. This larger context is the synopsis of the Sermon on the Mount that's found in Luke's Gospel. And theologian John Stott gives this summary of the Sermon on the Mount and what it means to be a follower of Jesus when he says, "The followers of Jesus are to be different, different from both the nominal church and the secular world, different from both the religious and the irreligious. The Sermon on the Mount is the most complete delineation anywhere in the New Testament of the Christian counterculture. Here is a Christian value system, ethical standard, religious devotion, attitude towards money, ambition, lifestyle, and a network of relationships, all of which are totally at variance with those of the non-Christian world. And this Christian counterculture is the life of the kingdom of God. A fully human life indeed, but lived under divine rule. What this means as followers of Christ is that we must humble ourselves and our instinct to want to control our lives and willingly submit to the authority of the king. We must accept that God has a plan and a purpose for our life, and it may look completely different than the life we would choose for ourselves. When we look throughout Scripture, we see the consequences of rejecting God and living a life according to our own heart's desires and what we want. And it leads to destruction. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? When we follow our own reasoning and our own logic, we allow our own feelings and emotions to govern the way we live our lives, we will not find peace. We will only find hopelessness and despair. This causes us to ask ourselves, is this it? Is this what life is about? Pursuing a career, our possessions, our comfort, our happiness? Because we're going to find that those things will constantly let us down. And then we'll look to other things that's going to satisfy. But only those things will let us down, resulting in this restlessness that comes from pursuing the things of this world. You know, I can't say that I've ever heard of anybody that comes to the end of their life and they say, you know, I wish that I would have spent more time drinking in the bar. I wish I would have stayed in the casino gambling a little bit longer. I wish I would have had more one-night stands. I wish I would have worked more hours. I wish I would have got more things. I wish I would have been more beautiful, been more popular. Yet these are just small examples, and there are many more, of building a life on the things of this world and the desire of our own heart. Submission to God's authority and humbling ourselves is not easy because it goes against everything in our nature, because we are sinful. And without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are opposed to God's righteous plan for us. And this is what it means to build our lives on the foundation, the rock of Christ. And this is the context of the parable that we read today. It is the contrast of someone who allows themselves to willingly be under the authority of Christ and someone who lives under their own authority. So ultimately, we have to ask ourselves, who's in charge? And in verse 46 of our text today, this is the question that Jesus is asking his listeners. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? And this is an important verse because without a proper understanding of what Jesus is saying in this statement as the conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount, it would appear that it's just another set of rules, another bunch of things that we have to do. And this would be void of any promise of the gospel. See, the point of the Sermon on the Mount is not to be a new set of rules or laws, but it's to continue to show that there is nothing that we can do in our own righteousness that will ever make us justified before God. We can never be righteous in anything that we do, because everything that we do comes from our sin nature. This is the reason that we cannot build our lives on anything substantial apart from Christ, because we were created to be in a perfect union with God. However, sin destroyed that union, eternally separating us from God. And that is why we need a Savior. And without the knowledge of God's plan for redemption that's found in Scripture, we would have no promise or no assurance of peace with God. And this is what Jesus continues to demonstrate in the Sermon on the Mount. He asks his listeners to be content in all circumstances, to love your enemies, to pray for people who are persecuting you, not to seek justice by your own means, to give away everything that you have and not expect anything in return, and not to judge. All these things that he lists in this sermon are impossible for us because they demonstrate God's righteous standard, something that we will not ever be able to approach. We are sinful and we cannot do what God asks us to do, and that is why we need the righteousness of Christ through faith in his death and resurrection. Because apart from Christ, we cannot be righteous. We cannot be blameless. or holy, because we are evil to our core because of our nature. Jesus shows us the condition of our hearts because he wants us to say, I can't do what you ask. That's impossible. So that he can say, I know you can't do it. Your salvation is already done through me. Just believe in me, and I can do it. When we submit willingly to Christ's authority and allow him to change us and work through us, through the Holy Spirit, the Sermon on the Mount, it becomes a blessing. This is a promise of being a subject of the King of the universe. And it is not another legal obligation of things that we must do. Because it's the power of Christ living in us. It's about him. It's not about us. And Jesus came to this earth not to give us more laws and not to just be a great moral teacher. He came to fulfill the law and to do for us that which we could not do for ourselves. Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt of all of your sin and all of my sin, past, present, and future. The debt is paid. The redemption of humanity is finished. And this is what it means to call Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It's through faith in his death and resurrection. And it's in that we are justified through him. And what this means is that we must recognize that we are sinners and that there is absolutely nothing that we can do that we would ever be considered righteous before God apart from Christ. And it doesn't matter how great and perfect we appear on the outside or how many great and moral deeds that we do, we are still sinners. And if we don't accept the gift of God's grace that he offers through faith in Jesus Christ, then we are rejecting him. We are completely incapable of building our lives on anything. Because this is not something that we can do in our own strength. It is only done through Christ living in us. And this is what we see in our last verses here, in verses 48 and 49 of our text. This is what it's speaking about. So I have to ask you, are you building your life on the rock of Christ or on a foundation of your own making? So once we accept that God's ways are not our ways, and we acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, we come to our last point for today, which is that we need to continually be assessing where we are placing our trust. Is it in Christ or is it in ourselves? And in verse 48 and 49, Jesus tells us the benefits and the consequences of both. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. This is why assessment is so critical. Because building a life on the rock promises strength and security. And a life built apart from Christ offers only destruction. This is the reason that it's so important for us to be reading God's word, to be in prayer, to continue to assemble with your brothers and sisters, so that they can encourage you and hold you accountable. This is the main reason that we need to continually assess and examine our ways. Because most likely, we will get off track. We get off track because our natural tendency is to resist God. We want to attempt to control our life. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. We get distracted. We get complacent. We get tired of fighting. And we give in to temptation. And when this happens, it's not long before we begin to seek those things that so easily entangle us. I don't know if you're like me, but when I came to Christ, God convicted me that there were things in my life that I needed to give up. There were things that I needed to change about myself. And these were the things that I was placing my trust in. You can call them what they really are, idols. Things would go along good for a while. I'd get busy. I would neglect reading God's word. I would stop praying. I would give in to temptation. I'd find a lot of other things to do besides going to church. And before I knew it, I'd be back trusting in those things that I thought would bring me comfort, only to find that they still are empty and hopeless. And I would look at my life and I would say, how did I get here again? And this is the reason that it's important to continually to assess where your priorities are and where you are placing your trust. Because to have a life built on the rock of Christ, we must first and foremost believe in Jesus' redemptive work. But we also need to realize that we are not alone. We need each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to love each other through struggle. We need to be real with each other and confess what we're going through, those weaknesses that affect our faith and our relationship to God. And as a family of faith, we need to admit that none of us have it all together. We all struggle with sin and disbelief. And there is not anyone here today that is any worse or any better than anyone else. We need to live in the reality that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. God never intended us to be alone. He tells us in the book of Joshua, he commands us in the book of Joshua to be strong and courageous, that he would be with us wherever we go. And Jesus tells his disciples and us before his ascension that he would be with us till our very last breath. We're also not alone because God gave us each other. And the Bible says in James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We need each other. We need to be honest with each other. And we need to be honest with ourselves. And we need to continually to assess where we are in our lives and where we are placing our trust. Maybe there's some here today who feel that they've gotten off track. They would say that their lives look a lot like the Millennium Tower in San Francisco. It appears to be beautiful and sought after. A life that's coveted by those around them. But it's lacking a foundation that provides any substance or purpose. A life sinking under the pressures of this life, the pressures to keep up appearances, and the loneliness that comes from an existence where nobody really knows who they are. A life that may look amazing on the outside, but is really, in reality, is empty and meaningless. And if that's you today, I want you to know that there is a God and that he cares for you and he loves you and he wants you to have an abundant life full of purpose and meaning. And maybe there's some here today who feel that there's absolutely no hope for them. That God could never love them for the life that they have led, for the things that they have done, or the things that they are continuing to do. They may even feel like God hates them. And if that is you today, I want you to know that that is not true. There is nothing that you could ever do right now that would make God love you any less or any more than he does right now. Because none of us deserve salvation. Yet despite our rejection of him, Christ died for you and for me. And everything that is needed for a life built on the rock of Christ has already been done for you through Christ's death and resurrection. And today, you can know the peace that God offers through trusting in Christ as the rock of the foundation of your life. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can know salvation through him. Thank you for all that you have done for us, that you continue to do for us because you love us. I ask God that if there is anybody here today that does not know you, that has not placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that they would not leave here today until they do. And I ask, God, that you would, in your mercy, continue to just fill each and every person here today with your Holy Spirit and draw us close to you and to your righteousness. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. God's word is indeed powerful and life-giving. If this broadcast has blessed you, would you contact us and let us know? We consider it a privilege to hear from you and to pray for you. If you've received a blessing, would you also give a blessing and ask God to lead you in partnering with us through prayer or with a gift to our radio ministry? Please contact us at Abiding Savior Free Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at 605-371-3800, or you can find us on the web at knowingthesavior.org. We are also excited to let our radio listeners know about Shiloh Free Lutheran Church, which is a new church plant in Rapid City, South Dakota. To find out more, please visit shilohfreelutheran.org or call 605-200-2758. We consider it a privilege to bring you the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May our Lord bless you richly this day.